morning and welcome to the Wednesday, September 3rd, 2008 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com. My guest today is Pastor Tony Alamo. And I wanted to get Tony. Tony was on last week when I had some technical difficulties, and Daryl Eberhardt stood in for me. And I wanted to talk to Tony personally this month because he comes on with me every month. And there's always a good message from Tony. And today he's in California. And Tony, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Greg?
Good. I want to apologize for a couple of the technical problems we've had, but I always wanted to get you on and talk to you again this month. Tell us, you know, from your perspective. I know how you look at things through the eyes of the Bible and through what Christ has told us, but it seems to me that the political process in America is controlled by the Jesuit order. And how do you get this message across without offending Catholics, which I find difficult sometimes?
Well, the only way that you can do it is through the Holy Spirit, the Bible. Jesus said that the Bible is the Holy Spirit and it is life. He said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life." And so Christ died for everybody in the world. That's Catholics, Buddhists, every kind of person, and for every sinner. And that's the way to do it. Now, all of humanity was fallen. They were all gone astray, and the Holy Spirit, God loved. He didn't like to see this. Fallen humanity began, of course, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And in the book of Adam and Eve stated that he was going to come to earth as a man, and that he was going to link himself with humanity by showing an immense love for human beings by keeping every commandment. That's very important. Now, everybody has an opportunity to be saved. For instance, the Catholics, every kind of religion, if they leave that religion, which obviously is doing the wrong thing. The main thing is they don't read the Bible, okay? So we're all fallen humanity, and then here Christ comes and lives among men. He was the first God-man. He was actually human, but he had the Spirit of God in him, which nobody did at that time.
Right, and I think the last time I interviewed you, last month, we left off at this one point where you were talking about all of these religions, all these God-men stepping forward and taking Christ's place. And it's interesting to look at all these different religions, Hare Krishnas, the rest of them, and how it's really something, many of these creations of the Jesuits, to take the emphasis off Christ and create this universal Christ. And how do you, you look at the world, you know, the other day I was talking to somebody, I said, you know, watch who you unify with. And they still believe that this unification of the world, all religions together, is a good thing. Explain the real sinister plot behind this.
Well, if we don't unite ourselves with Christ, there's only one Savior, one God-man that came to save us. And then after we become linked, Christ links it by our obedience to him and him alone, not to a religion, because religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord by allowing ourselves to link ourselves with Christ. Then and then only are we born again. We have to stop sinning. Now, this worldwide organization, Jesus said that we're not to link ourselves with any religion, because that's what's been going on for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come to him and him only. And so the Jews get upset because they, and I'm Jewish myself, but most of them get upset because they think that it was Christ that was killing them in Germany and in Poland and Czechoslovakia when those Catholic bells were ringing, but it was the Catholics that were killing them. So what it is if we just realize that God showed an astounding amount of love for us by sending his only begotten Son into the world. Actually, it was himself. God is everywhere, so he could live in all of us. And now he gives us the great honor to become the sons of God if we allow his Son, his Spirit to live in us. And that's the only way that we had to have the power to continue on being a Christian, because if a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and they begin doing the will of God by following him, and he never sins, so he says, follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me, well, then we have the power to become the sons, quote, the son, the actual sons of God. We are the body of Christ. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. In other words, he lives in many human beings. And if we fall away, he said in the last days there'd be a great falling away from him. And this first thing, it would be better that you'd never known Christ, that you had never accepted the truth, and then later on to fall away from the Lord. He said just before he comes back to earth again that there would be a great falling away. This is what the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul. So great is the mystery of godliness. It's great because the Lord lives in human beings in the flesh. He came into the world in the flesh, and this is the way he continues to operate. He operates in human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So if we let him continue his life in us, well, then we become another son of God. And this is in the Bible. It's in 1 Timothy 3:16. That the greatest the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery that people don't know. And so that's why Jesus said, you know, they don't know. Forgive them, Father, if they will repent, because they don't know. They don't know what they're doing. They know not what they're doing.
Right, and you see, you were just mentioning this great falling away coming at the end of, coming when the end times come. And then also, many have come in my name, he said, and but few will be chosen. Look at, you know, it's just amazing what's going on in the world today. You could see that happening. If you just look at America, we have, never before have I seen so many people just, you know, unfamiliar with the Bible. Then when you find out some of these Protestant, you know, then you have a small group of Protestants or Baptists who still go to church on Sunday, and they're unaware that they're actually going following Rome, thinking they're following Christ. And so it's a daunting task to get this message across when there are so many people unaware of it. But I find it interesting that pastors like you and several others taking this cause up, because, you know, I never asked you this before, but you came from Hollywood. You were, before you were saved, you were a big record promoter. And you've talked many times about some of these apostate Protestant pastors and ecumenical pastors like Hagee. Did you ever have any contact with Billy Graham? Because I know he was a 33-degree Mason, which leads me to believe he wasn't preaching the Word of God.
No, as a matter of fact, some of our brothers in the church were at some meeting where he was, and they took one of my pieces of literature and said, here, Pastor Tony Alamo would like you to have this. And he says, oh, yes, I've already written this. It was like, I've never really met him. No, not before. And, it wouldn't do any good to do it anyway, because he's definitely a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Claims to be a Baptist, and I guess if you're, if you see I'm sure you've read the Jesuit Oath.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's in the Library of Congress, as you well know, and in that Jesuit Oath, they say, we'll become a Baptist, a Lutheran, any kind of thing, and even stoop so low as becoming a Jew that we may infiltrate, in so many words I'm paraphrasing now, that we may infiltrate any church and stand there. Like Alberto Rivera told me that they get go into the churches to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, they really need to be saved, because they've done that to me. The media has infiltrated into my church. Government agents have. And what happened to them? Joseph Taliaferro got saved. He was a FBI man. Most of they get to the church, it doesn't bother me a bit. They can tap my phones all they want, because I'm going to just preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Now, getting back to the Jesuit oath, what's interesting when you read that, it's in the Library of Congress, and it's overlooked by congressmen and senators who don't want to deal with the truth because they're working for them. But when you look at this oath and you start tracing the oaths of organizations like the Knights of Columbus, the Skull and Bones, when you also the Knights of Malta, another organization, Freemasonry, many of the oaths are similar to the same Jesuit oath, and it's amazing to me. And then when you try to make that link, and you tell people, listen, the Jesuits have created Freemasonry. They're infiltrated the churches and the Baptist churches and the Hare Krishnas and Islam. And look at the oaths that they take in the Knights of Malta. It's the same thing. And it just lays more evidence it just gives us more evidence that what we're saying is the truth. And I wanted to ask you, when you cross over into this political world, and you link the two together, I find it interesting. You always find a Jesuit under every rock, no matter if it's politics or it's religion, right?
Right. But if people have, I was saying from 1 Timothy 3:16, if people realize that godliness is a mystery, and the mystery, God conceals things. It's a great thing that God does, is he hides the mysteries in his word, and it's the glory of God to hide these things. And it's, the Bible says that it's the glory of men to seek them out. And so all of a sudden you figure the mystery of God is revealed, finished in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. And people that really, really want to go to heaven and really want to be Christians, what they do, they'll seek. And David told his son Solomon, if you seek him, if you seek God, he will be found of you. You'll find him in the Word, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the Spirit and life. The Holy Spirit is our life, so... they're not seeking the Lord. They're seeking to be obedient to the Antichrist spirit of Satan. Now, Satan's spirit is on earth, and the Holy Spirit is here on earth. It's our job to bring about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And the only way that happens, people say, well, we'll pray for this person that they'll be saved. Well, you could pray all day for them, but the Bible says that the Word of God, or the Spirit of God, or the life of God says it pleases God that the human beings would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the Spirit, the Word of God, to people, because there's no possible way that they can be saved by praying for them. You can pray that God will give you the words to teach people some of the mysteries of God enough to where if they're really sincere about going to heaven, and nobody knows when they're going to die, but we do have an eternal spirit in us, and people feel very satisfied, you know, because they know deep down the spirit knows that it's eternal. But the thing is that if people haven't sought the mystery of godliness, which is that God uses human flesh. He enters into him. We all must become man, which we are, and then we have to become born again. We have to become spirit also.
Right. You know, sometimes when you said that, what you just said, sometimes a big bell goes off. And I'm just thinking while you're talking that I'm thinking of so many people that I've listened to say, oh, I've just prayed to God because I had a bad day. I'm praying to God that I get out of this financial mess. When in fact, what you're saying is you should be saying, dear God, let me pray for you, pray for me that I may be able to get close to your word so I can understand what you are about, right?
Or that you should become link myself with you,
mm-hmm,
by allowing you to let your spirit live in me, and then every day is a good day. You may be going through persecution, but and you may be going through tough times, but when you know that you have eternal life, when the Spirit of the Lord is living in you, when you're linked, Christ came down to this earth to a place full of darkness. No human being was saved at all. No human being had been linked with God. And so when you link yourself with God through Christ living in you in flesh, because this is the mystery of God, is that God manifests himself in human flesh. He was a human being, and he had the Spirit of God in him, and he offers us the same deal. We are the same experience, the same life. He wants to share his life with us because he so loved the world that he came into it to where people can see the manifestation of God through human flesh. And everybody flocked around him, and the religions were jealous of him, and they're very jealous of any one of us that have God living in us, because they don't, and we are not at all jealous of them. All we want them to do is be like we are, to where we are born again. We have the Spirit of life in us, and we study the Word of God to uncover more of the mysteries of God so that we can pour out the Spirit of God through us. God said in the last days that he'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and he does it through human flesh, him living in human flesh. While I'm preaching right now, I'm teaching you, I'm just telling you what, and everybody in the world or all your listeners, what I'm telling them is actually Bible. It isn't religion. It isn't sugar-coated. It's really denying yourself. But when the Spirit of God enters into you, you have power. You have God's power living in you. But you still have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. You got a bad day. Oh, that's sad, funky. But the thing is let the Spirit of God living in you. And then what could be better than sharing God's love with the world by preaching the word or teaching it? And what could be better than to know that you're soul, that you're going to heaven, and that you're saved? That you're saved from, the Lord's coming back to earth soon, and nobody, there's thousands of people dying every day, but you don't worry about it if you're born again of the Spirit. Yeah. And so this is a mystery. Just let the Spirit of God live in you, and you gain more of the Spirit of God by reading the Word. The Bible says that faith, we're saved by faith, and reading the Word we become more full of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing God from his Word. So this mystery is done away with. If people just say, how can we have become united with God through Christ? And how can we get out of debt? How can we have everything that God has? It's like a community of Christians that don't worry about the hard times or politics and things like that, because it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing. The only thing that means something is when we receive the Holy Spirit, which is Christ. Christ became He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says so in his word. He said, have I been so long with thee that you don't know that I am the Father? When one of his disciples said, show us the Father, he says, at the end of the Bible says, he said, I am the beginning, I'm the end, I'm the first and the last. He says, I'm the Almighty God. So even though he was here in the flesh, still was a God-man. He was half-man, half-God. And because he showed it by never, ever committing a sin, because he had the power of the Holy Spirit in him to cause him to never sin. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that have been around me in our church that have heard me preach these things before, and they, yes, they've fallen away. And the Bible says it'd be better that you'd never known the truth, that you've never tasted the Holy Spirit, that you've never felt the power of God searching through you and giving you the power, the actual power of God in you, and the joy and the peace and the happiness. There's no peace. None of these people running for president are going to bring peace. There isn't a religion that has peace. They're being persecuted by the word of God, but they have no consolation whatsoever. We have persecution. We take joy in it because we know that the prophets and the preachers and teachers before us suffered the same persecution. And so it isn't a mystery to us. The Lord told us to be ready to experience these things because it happened to him, and if we're his followers, it's going to happen to us. But just be filled with joy, happiness when it happens. So, you know, I'm not worried about religions or any of these things because I've won. The Catholic newspaper stated that I have brought salvation to half of their people. And they used to boast of a billion people, but around 10 or 15 years ago, they said that I had split the church in half. And they said, boy, it would be a great thing if Tony Alamo ever became a Catholic because he'd be like another Apostle Paul. In other words, they're claiming the Apostle Paul was one of theirs. Paul was, he was disgusted with religions, and but he preached the gospel to them, those people that worship Diana, and it just keeps going down the line. They're all they're trying to figure some way, you know, how to bring about peace. Even the President of the United States, Mr. Bush, sent me, I forget how many emails, asking me what would your opinion be to bring about peace in the Middle East. And so I says, I told him, you know, that you just need to be born again of the Spirit, because there's not going to be peace in the Middle East. God's going to destroy all the people that are going to attack Israel. And, you know, if I'm not worried, and the Jews are not worried about it, because they know the scriptures in Ezekiel that state that all the nations of the world are going to rise up against Israel, and there are going to be huge armies from every nation going over there, and God's going to destroy them. And it's just bad that they are going to do it, knowing that it says it in the Bible. He's going to destroy them, and it's going to take months for people to pick up their bones and bury them. They'll have to hire people from other nations to go into Israel and bury those bones. People should read the book of Ezekiel. They should read all the Bible so that they can see these things unfolding before their eyes.
Right. And we're going to take a break and then come back for a half hour. And then in the second hour, I'm going to play one of your audio messages. Many people listening probably don't know Pastor Alamo's on many, many radio stations all over the country carrying this message to people. And that's the real key to this, this whole story we're talking about today. It's to open up the eyes of those who have not been able to have been fallen away by this propaganda that the Vatican and our government officials, along with the government officials and religious leaders of the world, have carried out in the name of Lucifer. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Pastor Tony Alamo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. Confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Okay, we're back for the second half hour. My guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and this is the Investigative Journal. And just to comment about that Kennedy statement and then Bush's statements, it's interesting that question he asked, what does that mean for America? Tony, you answer that. You weren't listening?
I left the room for a second while that was done.
I'll just fill you in. Kennedy gave his famous monolithic speech, where they talking about the monolithic conspiracy speech a few days, 10 days before he was killed.
Yeah, that was a great speech.
Yeah, outlining exactly what the Vatican-led New World Order is all about, and then Bush has asked the same questions, listen to the president today, and he says, what about Skull and Bones? And he says, it's so secret we can't talk about it. And then Russert says, what does that mean for America? And he goes, it's so secret we can't talk about it. And he says, what does that mean for America? And Bush then says, I have a plan. I know exactly where I'm leading. And I just wanted you to answer the same question. What does it really mean for America to follow a man like this and the Vatican?
Well, it's destruction for anybody to follow any man other than Jesus. I mean, before I was saved, I thought I was the smartest person in the world because I not only promoted records, but I took unknowns and I promoted them to be number one, like Sonny and Cher and Rovan and a lot of other people. And also the whole Democratic Party wanted me to do the promotion for them, too, for Kennedy. And I was involved in a sense. They came to me, but I didn't know anything about politics, so I didn't do it. Waller Winchell and Mayoriorty of Los Angeles back then, and Ted Chirac and a whole bunch of other people came and wanted me to do the promotion for not just the President of the United States, but for the whole Democratic Party. And I really thought I was smart. And I didn't know anything, I mean, that was of any value, because God's Word, the Spirit, says that Christ is the ultimate of intelligence. And Christ is the Word of God. So I knew nothing. I saw people, distributing leaflets on the street and everything like that. And I saw, people from the Salvation Army. They've fallen away, that whole. Some of them are now preaching a little bit, but my God, the leader of that organization was fantastic. He had a wonderful experience in the Lord. And I didn't know anything. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting in an office in Beverly Hills, and here the Lord actually... I didn't know anything. I didn't know the mystery that godliness. I didn't even care about it because I saw all the religions. And it's amazing that even as in an unsaved state, I knew one thing, that all these religions were false, phony, hypocritical. I used to run with a bunch of Catholics, and we'd all drink at the same bar. We'd all, do the things that every sinner does, and then they'd go to church on Sunday. They didn't know the mystery of godliness, and they didn't want to know it, and I didn't want to know. Then all of a sudden, and the Bible says that nobody is going to serve God unless the fear of God comes upon them. God told that to Moses. And anybody that's going to try to lead the nation, like this Obama, everybody thinks he's so. He's as idiotic as I was before I was saved. Any born-again Christian who really studies the Word and hasn't fallen away in the great fall, I've seen hundreds of people fall away around me in my own church. And a lot of people just say, yeah, it's wonderful to be saved, but I still want to take drugs. I still want to be a homosexual. I still want to be, there's somebody gets me mad and I want to murder them and all these things. But the Bible says it'd be better that you'd never known the truth, that you've never felt this Spirit, that you've never felt this power, that you've never felt God, that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, if you fall away, because there's a hotter place in hell for people like that. And people think that we're preaching evil when we tell them about heaven and hell. We're going to live on forever. Our souls know that. So here I am in this office, and the Lord came down, closed off my natural ears, and was speaking to my spirit inside me. The spirit inside people looks identical to your body. And even if after people die, that spirit is still in them for a few minutes. You can talk to them and tell them, look, I told you that if you did these things, that this is going to happen to you. But if they die in the spirit, they're just saved, and it's you're so happy. When I saw Christ appear right in front of me, I thought I'd be frightened when that happened, if it ever happened. And I said, Lord, I wanted to be with him so bad, because I saw a portion of heaven. And this world looks so, I realized all of a sudden that the whole world is made out of dirt. Everything, the lampshades, the lamps, all the furniture in the house, it came from the earth. The sheets came from the earth. It's like cotton. And everything, the iron or the plastic or whatever you got, and it was like so beautiful because everything was eternal. And the Lord put his hand out and says, not yet, not now. But he was warning me that I wasn't seeking the word of God enough. So many people take a blasé attitude in regarding to seeking the Lord, and they drift away from the connection that they have with Christ. And the only thing that connects us to heaven is Christ. There's no possible way that the only thing that causes us to not have eternal life anymore is when we unlink ourselves with that Holy Spirit. And when we're not reading the Word of God enough, what happens is we drift away, and then pretty soon, people don't fall away overnight. It takes... It's a subtle thing that happens. People stop going to church, they stop reading the Bible, and they stop praying to the Lord, and they start thinking again that they are going to lead people to a new fangled way of living, rather than to just rely on Christ for everything. That's what we have to do, is just receive Christ, because he is the wisdom and the power of God. There's no other wisdom in the world but the Word of God. So any these people saying, well, what are you going to do about abortion? They're asking these people that are not yet saved, and they're wanting to be our leaders. Well, they're not my leader. I have a much bigger leader than they do. I've got God. I've got Jesus, I've got the Holy Spirit. One of the things that really tells us that is John 16:13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear from God the Father, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we know what the future is, and these people running for president are just so ignorant to everything. They need to be born again of the Spirit, and if they did, they wouldn't be able to run for the president of the United States, because the religions, they're all of different religions. They won't allow you to speak evil of the Catholic cult or any other cult, because they want their votes. It isn't a matter, it's just they want to have power, and they don't have power. It doesn't make any difference, because somebody could do to them the same thing that they did to Kennedy. And I believe that President Kennedy became born again because he thought he was the reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln. And he really aligned himself with Lincoln. And it is amazing how much the likeness of them were.
Right, and both of them killed by the Jesuits.
Right, absolutely.
One back in the 1800s, then one in 1963. And, you know, sometimes it's interesting. You're a modern-day preacher who is not afraid to tell us who the Antichrist is, and that is Rome, and try to get Protestants back in line with following Christ, not the Pope. And I always like to look back and see what people were talking about, let's say, in the 1860s, and were there any followers of the Reformation. And I found this one guy named C.H. Spurgeon, minister, who wrote these words, and I just wanted to read them and then have you comment why we don't have preachers talking like this anymore. He says, evangelical churchmen, lovers of the Lord Jesus, how long will you remain in alliance with the defilements of high churchism and popery? You are mainly responsible for all the popery of your church, for you are its salt and its stay. Your brethren in Christ cannot but wonder how it is that you can remain where you are. You know better. You are the children of God, and yet you aid and abet a system by which darkness is scattered all over the land. Beware, lest you be found in union with the Antichrist when the Lord cometh in his glory. What a future would be yours if you would shake yourselves from your alliance with papists and semi-papists. Come out for Christ's sake. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. So we still had people back then, Pastor, talking like this. But nowadays, you don't hear this from the pulpits.
Oh, you do, but you do from my pulpit.
Yeah, from your, I'm talking about basically in most every Protestant church in this country, you're not going to hear this.
Yeah, most of the fallen away people, that they say, well, I just can't do it. I can't suffer the persecution. I can't handle it. And so they have united themselves, and the whole world has been deceived by them. They've united themselves to avoid persecution, because if you become a Catholic, you're not going to receive any persecution, even if you have sexual relationships with little boys and little girls, preteen, like that. You're not going to get any persecution. They don't get any persecution, but all the money that goes to the IRS, because they run the government. And I'm saying that not only is Rome they're the head of the Antichrist, but the whole world at large, and all the fallen away born again Christians are now members of the whole body of Antichrist. Like Christ, we are the body of Christ, and all the world is the body of the Antichrist, and the seat of Satan is, the Bible says, is Rome. That's why we know all the mysteries. There's no guesswork with us. We know exactly what's going on. I don't say that every Christian does. Most of them don't, because they fall. honest belief. They've drifted away from Christ, and they're no longer linked with him, and they've linked themselves with the Antichrist in order to avoid persecution. And that's just the whole thing. People, they want to be with the big cult, the world's most horrible cult. They massacred the people at Waco. They've massacred those people at the World Trade Center. They've massacred those children and men and women over at the federal building in Oklahoma City. They've massacred hundreds and hundreds of millions of people down through the years. And it's, they don't, that couldn't be Christ. If Bush, here, this fictitious war of his, he couldn't be a Christian. How did people are so easily fooled and deceived? The whole world is deceived, the Bible says. And it says that because we're not the world, those of us that we're in the world, but we're not a part of the world. And all those that don't know Christ or don't allow Christ to lead them into all truth, they're part of the Antichrist, because they're not willing to let the Spirit live in them and preach what the Spirit says rather than what they say. They plan. You know, I've done thousands of talked to thousands of different people. I've done hundreds of interviews and written hundreds of messages and preached hundreds of messages and everything, but the people are stubborn. They don't, they see me going to prison, you know, for no reason at all. They just made up a story. They don't want that. They figure my wife, my kids, my job, and my position in the world, I can't do that. There's a lot of different senators and congressmen that I've talked to, and even presidents. And I've had dinner with all these different presidents, Clinton, and I've talked to Reagan, and they all admired that, at least they were saying that Reagan did, but all Clinton wanted me to do is introduce him to Dolly Parton. And I didn't know that he was the way he was. She was singing at my restaurant at the time, in the banquet room, and so I went back and said, do you want to meet Governor Clinton? She says, oh, okay, you know, bring him back. So I went and introduced him to her, and he wrote about it in his book. He wrote 3 pages on me, 2.5, 3 pages, something like that. He said that I looked like some singer but on speed. Of course, we don't take speed. I don't take any kind of drugs whatsoever, and that's our ministry has always been anti-drug and born again spirit. Be saved, get right with God.
Right, and then he didn't write in his book what he really tried to do to you, and that is kill you in the end.
Right, he hired this federal FBI man to assassinate me. And Mr. Peeler,
mm-hmm.
And you've had him on your program several times, I know. And he's the real, and we've been in communication with him a lot. And I put out a piece of literature regarding him. They put his son in prison, and he's been there for years because he would not assassinate me.
Right, and fine, what he told me, and he's come on the show and publicly stated it, that there was a campaign from the higher ups in government to get rid of your ministry and to find and to plant guns, to plant anything on, you know, and first to find out any dirt on you. And Peeler said you were crystal clear, and so he left the FBI because he couldn't do this anymore, and that's why they framed his son for murder. And he started coming on the program telling the truth about what happened, and it made a lot of sense to me because I remember back in the 90s listening to the mainstream propaganda about you, and they spread that all over the place to try and get rid of your ministry, and they ended up, John said, they ended up having to fake some IRS documents to put you in prison for false IRS charges. That was all they could do, and they were successful. And you had to spend 4 years in prison for that.
Right. I got a 6-year sentence, and because of good behavior. I knew one of the congressmen, and he helped true, and I'm very grateful for that. I was my son was born while I was in jail over in Van Buren, Arkansas. But, you know, they're just taking orders from the Vatican. That's what they're doing. They just, anyone that is exposing them. One thing they can't stand is exposure, because that's why they have so many secret societies. They can't tell you anything. The Pope and Catholicism wants everything under their umbrella. They're telling people that I've got the, you know, this great plan to lead you to where we'll all be one religion. We can't do that. The Bible, Jesus tells us that we have to separate ourselves, consecrate ourselves, be completely separate from them, because it's the spirit of Satan that is involved, that's telling people that we should all be one by taking on the spirit of Satan. In other words, being his body. Being, because Satan has one body and Christ has one body. You're either of the Lord in the, by the virtue of being linked with his spirit, or and which is his word, or you're linked to Satan. It doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Buddhist, or if you've received the spirit of Satan, if you've joined in, if you've been deceived by this spirit, you've taken the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is still coming, and they're really telling people, look, they're going to steal your identity. Now, the way, pretty soon they're going to say, now, the way that your identity cannot be stolen at all is for you to take them. This mark or a chip in your forehead or your right hand. The Bible says if you do that, there's no forgiveness for you in this world or in the world to come. And but many people have already taken this stand with Satan in their hearts, in their spirits, in their souls. They've, you know, and if they've done that, there's no forgiveness for them in this world or in the world to come. And that's just the way God is, and people want to argue about it. Doesn't do any good, because who's going to argue with God, or who's going to fight him and win? People cannot fight God and win. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. And you know, every 50 to 100 years, the Vatican goes on a killing spree, a genocide. We can look back, World War II, the Croatian genocide after that as well, the Jewish genocide. And then look at what's going on in Africa back in the 90s, and then now, well, also Croatia then. And now with the Iraqi war, killing millions of Muslims and many American soldiers. And the other day, I was talking to a couple, and they were basically people that still were, I was in a coffee shop, and I've mentioned, I was trying to talk about the illegal Iraqi war, and they said, yeah, our daughter went, and I wish we would have learned about the truth before, because she's very ill now, she came back, right? And they were open to discuss this issue, and they said they were Christians, and I mentioned, what Bible do you read? And they go, well, the new something. And I said, did you ever get the King James, and do you understand what's going on with the Antichrist? And they were very open to get to this message. And I said, the Jesuits have changed the Bibles. They have created these godmen, these pastors who aren't telling the truth, and you need to listen to the other side of the story. And I think, when, you know, I wonder sometimes, you know, how many people do you touch? You probably touch millions without knowing. And just that one day made me feel as if my work was worthwhile, because maybe those people will see the real truth and find that it's really not in government. It's in the Bible.
It's in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can get into heaven. No man can go to the Father but through me. Mary is not deity. None of the saints are deity. Only those of us that have united ourselves with deity, we have become sons of God, but we're not gods. We are the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and His church, His bride. So in reality, there is four of us, but we all become one in Christ Jesus. And these people that you say are they're God, they're devil men. They're not God men, they're devil men. Satanic men.
Mm-hmm.
That, and the Lord warns about these people, that he warns us to stay away from them because they're leading people. They're blind, first of all, because they can't see the truth of the Word of God. And he says that these blind ministers are leading the blind people into, and they're all going to fall into hell, into the ditch, and into the lake of fire.
Which answers the question Bush never did, and where does that take America? Right to hell is the answer.
Exactly where he's taken them, and it's just very sad that people, they've heard the gospel, and when everybody's heard the gospel, that's when the Lord's coming back, and it's, I believe, you know, people are hearing it all over the world.
And it's so sad, you know, when I look back at that couple, you know, talking about their daughter who went over thinking she was fighting for freedom,
yeah,
coming back, and so many of our soldiers are being killed by them. And they're coming back sick, and it's just a very sad story, and people need to understand that this is the Pope's crusade over there.
Yeah, the biggest crusade, and they've been killing, murdering people for solidly. I mean, you know, there's a big war here and a big war there, but in between all these wars, they're conspiring against people, murdering them. Look at all the people that Clinton boasts of murdering. He said he's proud that he bombed.
Yeah. Well, listen, Pastor, we're all out of time. I'm going to play one of your recent messages on the radio messages. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks again.
Okay. Pastor Tony Alamo will be back in 5 minutes after the news on the Investigative Journal.